Hello, I'm Marie Sneeman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to live a happier and healthier life. Thanks for tuning into Calm, Clear and Helpful, the weekly podcast series which introduces you to wellness professionals, offering their expertise and assistance. Today's topic is build better habits for autoimmune health without feeling deprived or overwhelmed. If autoimmune health challenges feature in your life or the life of a loved one, I trust that listening to this podcast will shed light on what you're dealing with and offer practical pointers and hope. My guest is Dr. Amy Beheimer, health and wellness coach, life coach, and doctor in pharmacy from Marietta, Georgia. You're so welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. I love how you are just living the name of this podcast, Calm, Clear, and So Helpful.
Sometimes you need to fake it till you make it. But thank you. To our listeners, thanks for tuning in. After our conversation, Amy will give us her tips to feel better about your health, and then there will be a little lighthearted fun question time. Amy, you help people to live better with autoimmune disease, and you yourself have been riding the ups and downs of multiple autoimmune diagnoses for nearly 20 years. Could you please tell us about your journey?
Absolutely. I got my first autoimmune diagnosis when I was in my teens. And, you know, typical teenager, you don't think much about it. You keep on going. I got a second diagnosis in my thyroid in my mid-20s. And at that point, I had been through pharmacy school. So I knew quite a bit about the human body and about autoimmune disease and what can go wrong. And I started to get this, you know, ominous feeling that they cluster, you know, autoimmune diseases. If you have one, the chance of having another one actually goes up. And so I started to think, oh goodness, could there be more? Is there something happening in my lifestyle, in my life that my body is not happy with? And sure enough, I got another diagnosis of multiple sclerosis when I was 27, which is, you know, almost 15 years ago now. And it really was life shaking. You know, it not only has physical health implications, you know, with these various diagnoses, but also the mental and the emotional load that living with a diagnosis that can be progressive and can get worse was a lot to deal with. And so it really led me in the direction to look at what are the ways that I can control this thing that feels uncontrollable. What are the things in my life that I can influence so that I can give myself the best possible future outcome, but also so I can feel good and lose that ominous feeling day to day?
I have such respect for that approach. And I do hope that many people are listening who can gain some positivity and some hope from that approach. Now, you qualified as a doctor in pharmacy, and now you are a health coach and a life coach. Could you tell us more about the work you do?
Yeah, so the pharmacist side of me works at a large hospital, you know, caring for patients who are sick and actually leading a team of other pharmacists as well. But the work that I am moving towards and doing more and more of, and why we're talking here today, is my work as a coach. And I do have a national board certification in health and wellness coaching. I have a certification in life coaching. And it's interesting because health and life really are one and the same. And I think maybe listeners will agree that if your health is going well, life usually seems to be going a little bit better, and vice versa. So that I do is helping people with two main things. First, we want to feel better now. We want to feel better today. So whatever symptoms feel like they are controlling our days, whether that's fatigue, exhaustion, whether it's symptoms that are more closely linked to a certain diagnosis, we want to help with those in any way that we can. And the second thing that we want to do is that we want to ensure that our future health is as best as it can be. We want to function better into the future. And the good news is that for both of those things, the same approach works. And, you know, as you mentioned with the title and our topic is looking at habits as a vehicle to help us feel better today and help us function better into the future. And when we can do those two things, you know, it's not promising that anything is going to be perfect, but what it does get us is the feeling of pride, knowing that we're doing what we can for our health. It gives us back a sense of control when we can set goals, when we can reach them, and we get to feel the progress that comes when we really take this intentional approach to our life. Again, so we can get that sense of control, which we have way more control than we initially think. And so part of it is just teaching people what can we control and how do we actually do it.
Amy, for listeners who may be wondering, how would you define autoimmune disease?
So autoimmune disease is an umbrella term for the different diagnoses that what's happening in our body is our immune systems, which we want to be nice and balanced. We don't want them to be too low. We don't want them to be underactive because then we can have infections and certain things go wrong. But we don't want the immune systems to be too high or overactive because it can harm our body as well. What's happening in an autoimmune disease is our immune system thinks that our tissues or certain organs in our own body are a foreign invader. So our immune system thinks that it's helping us out. It thinks that it's doing the right thing by taking care of the foreign invader, but it's actually our own tissue. So depending on where the immune system gets confused, depending on which tissue it starts attacking, that is where the symptoms will play out. So someone with an autoimmune disease that affects their thyroid could look very different than an autoimmune disease that affects their joints or affects their nervous system. But the commonality is this mechanism where the immune system is not quite sure what is happening. And like I mentioned, they tend to cluster. There is a genetic component to it. And the reason, you know, if anyone's listening, maybe I should have said this at the beginning, and you don't have an autoimmune disease, the reason this matters is, you know, they really are on the rise. There's a lot in the news about, you know, we're adding new diagnoses. There's over 100 at this point, various autoimmune diagnoses. We're seeing higher rates in children that we never saw before. And I don't share that from a fear standpoint to be afraid of it, but instead to be aware that, you know, 10% of people across the world have an autoimmune disease right now. So you likely have neighbors, family members, friends. I hope not you if you don't have one now, but these things that we're talking about, these habits, these lifestyle habits, they work for every single body. So it just happens that I speak and work with people who have a diagnosis, but anybody in the world who is listening can benefit from the things we're talking about. And I even have members in my group, and I coach people who don't have a diagnosis, but they just want to make sure that they don't get one.
Yes. And also if, as you said, if there's someone close to one, like for instance, like a partner, because it has a huge influence on a relationship.
Oh, it absolutely does. And the framework that I no doubt will discuss, you know, talks about these six key areas of life that we do have some control over. And like you mentioned, relationships fall under connection. Connection is a lifestyle habit that really does impact our health and happiness. And like you said, it can spread not just to affect you, but your family, potentially a caregiver and others. And so having this approach really does ripple out to impact others in a positive way.
Yeah. Amy, could you briefly describe the challenges connected to autoimmune disease? You have referred to some limitations.
Yes. So in general, there are physical challenges. There are mental challenges. There can be emotional challenges. Specifically for me, I live with a disease that affects my nervous system, multiple sclerosis. And so what that looks like is some limitation in how far, how long I can walk, because those nerves, sometimes the connection is not as strong. If you think of it, you know, the nerves are what supply the muscles. And so people with MS or multiple sclerosis can have changes in their gait or their endurance. Sometimes it can be vision changes, which I have not experienced, but some people have. There can be, you know, all sorts of different things, energy levels. I call it the symptom that binds, because the one thing that most everybody with an autoimmune disease, whatever the diagnosis, feels first is a lack of energy, fatigue, exhaustion, and they're not quite sure why, and it feels like nothing they do can help. And so that exhaustion physically can also lead to exhaustion mentally and emotionally, like I mentioned. So the symptoms will differ for different diagnoses and even at different times in people's lives. So that's why having a root cause approach, that's why really going to the root of what things we can do that help our brains and bodies, you know, thrive and be able to perform the best they can. That's why it's such a powerful approach to this thing that can feel very, very big and overwhelming.
On your website, you wrote, and I quote, "Through coaching, I learned something that changed everything. While I couldn't control what was happening, I could control how I responded to it." Amy, what does this mindset involve?
Well, first, you know, just to take a minute to talk about mindset. We hear a lot about mindsets, you know, if you're in the health and wellness world at all. And I define a mindset as a collection of our thoughts. And it's the thoughts that we are thinking throughout the day. Most of them, we're not even aware of it. And so part of the work that we do together and that I do with clients, and the work that really has changed my personal life, is taking some control over my mindset and really looking at the thoughts that are driving my life and finding ones that just really are not serving me and choosing to think of things differently. And I think that a lot of people either think they're optimistic or they're a glass half full person or they're not. And I want to spread the message and help people see that it's not something you're born with. It's a skill to be able to take a look at how you're thinking and ultimately how you're feeling and shift it. So when I, you know, the quote that you just read of starting to think on purpose that, you know what, it's okay that I can't control everything, kind of making peace with the fact that I'm human, and whether I have this diagnosis or whether I don't, there are things that I will never be able to control. Making peace with that and then deciding, you know what, but I'm going to go looking for the things I can control that can help me feel better, that can help me function better, and I'm going to do more of those things. And so that was, again, looking at controlling how I responded to it, what I did about it, how I talked about it, you know, what I made it mean that I had this diagnosis. And so that's just kind of a big picture overview of how my mindset shifted from feeling out of control because this thing was happening to me, instead saying, oh, okay, this is a part of the human experience. Nothing has gone wrong here. Now, how do I want to choose to move forward given the facts of my life thus far?
Yeah, that's a courageous approach. And now we're coming to building real life habits in order to be what you call autoimmune healthy. Why are habits an effective tool?
Well, I love them. I am a habit enthusiast, I say. Mm-hmm. One reason I love habits is that the scientist in me, you know, going through pharmacy school, we learn a lot about evidence-based medicine. We trust what research shows. And there is a science behind not only the lifestyle habits that we can control, you know, how we think, how we move, how we eat, you know, these various things that make up kind of the picture of when you think of somebody who's doing a healthy habit, there's a science behind why they are so effective and why they work. But there's also a science behind how to change habits in a way that feels good, in a way that doesn't feel like you're depriving yourself, or in a way that doesn't feel like you always have to be on and off the consistency wagon. And so knowing that we have this research on what works, it really helps me when I meet with someone, and when they're considering coaching with me, I can confidently say, we know how to do this. We just need to keep showing up, keep applying the strategies, keep it simple, and do it in a way that feels good. Habits are also so amazing because when our brain is in the grip of a habit, so let's say that we are working on moving more throughout the day, or eating in a way that helps us feel better and helps our cells thrive. When we do it enough that it becomes a habit, our brain doesn't have to think about it so hard. It gets to power down and conserve energy. So if you remember, energy is such a big part of people living with autoimmune disease, how they can experience the day feeling so exhausted. So when we slowly replace the things that we're doing, habits are thought to make up 50% of our day. That's huge. Half of our day is being done on autopilot. So when we can replace some of the things that are draining us with habits that help gain energy, then it's just a upward spiral of feeling more energized and, you know, building this this life that feels like it's filling our tank instead of draining it. And what you mentioned autoimmune healthy. I love that term, autoimmune health, because if you ask most people, you know, fill in the blank, autoimmune what? Everybody will say autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
And so I like to use autoimmune health only because it is a pattern interrupt, and it kind of has our brain going, wait, what is autoimmune health? And it's a reminder, we have this disease, but there are still so many ways that we can be healthy. There are still ways we are healthy right now. How many times do we thank our heart for beating, or our lungs for breathing, you know, or our eyes for seeing, you know, if we are fortunate enough to have those things happening? Yeah. So autoimmune health is just a mission that I really love to promote, that yes, we have this disease, but let's shift to the parts we can control, which is a whole lot.
You've mentioned that there are inner habits and outer habits. What is the difference?
So an inner habit is one that people can't see. So right now I have thoughts happening habitually, and I have feelings happening habitually. But if somebody saw me, they may not know what I'm thinking and feeling. So I may be out in the world, and a lot of people who come to me feel this way, that they're out in the world and they're living, they're doing things, but underneath, inside, they're feeling worried. They're feeling exhausted. They're thinking that, you know, their health is never going to be good again, or they're worried about what's happening in the future with their health. Those things are habitual. Those are things that we can rewire and change as well. The outer habits are the ones that most people think of when we think about outer habits. How are we eating? How are we moving? How are we relating to other people? You know, how much sleep are we getting? Are we resting? And the combination between our inner habits and our outer habits is really where the magic happens. Because when our thinking and feeling and doing is aligned, that's when life starts to feel better. That's when things start to feel good, and we start to gain back that sense of control.
Oh, I love that explanation. I've never thought of it that way.
I mean, a lot of people don't think that how we think and feel is under as much control as it really is. And so I love that it's new to you, because I think that it's new to a lot of people. I think, you know, I have clients who join, and we will start, and I'll say, you know, what would you love to be different this year? When I say join, I mean my coaching program, my membership. They'll say, well, I really want to be eating better, and I really want to be, you know, moving more consistently. And then we will get talking about, okay, what would that look like? And they mention that, you know, I really just would like to have more joy in my day. And I'll say, you know, that we can set joy as a habit goal to feel more joy, and we can find ways to measure it. And we can actually put a goal of a feeling to go after. And they're like, okay, never mind. Forget that. I maybe want to eat and move better, but I want joy. I want joy. Because the truth is, why do we want to eat and move better? Probably because we want, you know, more of that feeling that we're after. And so it's fun to have different ways to approach a better life. And so adding in habits for the people that that resonates with, you know, the people who are in their head a lot or in their feelings a lot, is just a neat tool and strategy. Again, back to what the research shows works. It's a neat way to go about doing it in a different way that's a little bit novel.
Since individuals differ, each person needs to find the habits serving them best. How do you help clients do this?
Again, back to there's really good research on helping you decide where to start. And one of the first ways, this sounds way too simple, but I promise it works every time, is what do you want to do? What habit do you want? And really letting yourself be honest, not answering from what you think your spouse wants you to do or your doctor, but what is something you really want to do? Because when you have a desire for it, your chances of hitting it go up a lot. And also starting with way less than you think, you know, really starting with one that you really want to do is a great way. Another way I help people is I share information about what foods do help a body thrive, what movements are considered essential for our bodies as we age and whether we have a disease or not, what are the best practices for getting good sleep and getting good rest. I share information so that when people are learning it, they can pay attention. Oh, I want to try that, you know? And so again, coming back to what do they want to try, using a balance between what does the science say may help you, balancing that with yourself. What do you feel like you want to start with? And the cool thing is we take it just one or two habits at a time, because as you make these new habits, what you desire may change and shift. And you may notice that once you have the satisfaction and the pride from accomplishing one, you kind of, you know, get more bold and you get more confident that you can do something bigger and maybe even a little tougher than you thought when you were first starting out. So it's really taking it one or two at a time, proving to yourself you're a person who can set a goal and reach it. And then, as I mentioned, using a bit of the science to help us guide what's going to help us be our healthiest.
I'm curious about which habits have worked well for you personally.
Well, we could spend the next 6 hours talking about that. But in general, you know, it's mindset habits have truly shaped, you know, who I am as a person and what my health is. One of the first habitual thoughts that I wanted to have was that my life could still be really good and really healthy, even with this diagnosis that was a bit scary. And so practicing that, you know, I'm always working on mindset habits that will help me believe and think in a way that lets me feel better and improve my health. So that's one thing. Another mindset habit that a lot of people start with, and I had to start with, is that believing and thinking that we can trust in the tiny, that we can, you know, take any big goal that we have, boil it down to a small version, and really trust that if we figure out how to show up consistently for ourselves, that will add up over time. Consistency really is the key to building habits in a way that serves our greater good. From a food standpoint, you know, eliminating or dialing way back on processed foods was a huge change from my 20s to now in my 40s. That has proven to help me feel better, and I know help my body function better, is, you know, not this perfect prescribed diet, but how do I get more real food in my diet? How do I, you know, get rid of the ultra processed foods? And the way we do it, it's not like you feel deprived while doing it. You really learn to dial down that desire. Movement is one I have to call out. I mean, moving my body, you know, a body in motion stays in motion. So figuring out ways to move that feel good, ways I can keep doing it, even on days that feel hard, you know, resting. Rest is one that I tend to neglect, but finding things that really recharge me, looking at my relationships is another habit that is just fun and takes relationships from good to great, is when we can actually, you know, do it in a habitual way. And then the habit of just always having a goal to go after, not from a place of lack or a place of I need to do this thing, but instead from a place of I get to grow in this way and help things get better. So I kind of just danced around the six key areas, which I call the habit hub for autoimmune health. And I know we'll get into that too, but that's kind of how my brain works, is thinking of these lifestyle areas naturally so that there's some balance.
A quick note on what I do. I showcase health and wellness experts and creative individuals who inspire transformation to help them expand their reach, build credibility, and connect with new clients. Featuring these professionals in podcast episodes and articles benefits my worldwide audience, who gain access to solid information and get to know experts who can support their growth. If you're a wellness expert keen to raise your profile, visit marietsneeman.co.za and explore the services section. I offer my podcast guests and article contributors step-by-step support, especially if it's your first time being interviewed. Now, back to my guest. The work you do is based on science, and you've mentioned it a few times. Why is this so important to you?
Because science, like I mentioned, the research, it helps give me some confidence that if I'm going to try this thing that's a little bit different or feels a little bit hard, I can look and see, wow, we have proof that this works. You know, we have proof that this is a good starting point for me to find what works for me. And so, yeah, I like it because it's a confidence builder. I'm not the first one trying these things. And research that has been done, yeah, just gives me a little bit of that confidence, especially when I'm helping other people to be able to make promises about, you know, this is what I've seen with the people I've worked with. And this is based on what we know about humans and what helps us thrive.
Now we're coming to those six areas. Could you please tell us what they are and maybe give an example in each area?
Yes, I know I kept alluding to it, but we'll cover it now. So it is my framework and my approach to habits is called the Habit Hub for autoimmune health. It could be the Habit Hub for energy. It could be the Habit Hub for human health, but I call it the Habit Hub for autoimmune health. And the good news is the six key areas that I'm going to mention, they're nothing new. They're nothing that you haven't heard before. They hopefully are just put together in a way that feels balanced and feels like you can understand how all these different things we could be doing fit in the big picture of a healthy life. And so I've never met somebody or worked on a habit that doesn't fit into one of these six key areas. So it covers anything that we may want to do to improve our health or to improve our happiness. Number one is mindset. And we touched on why mindset is so important. And mindset really is behind all of the areas, but I like for it to have its own key area to just give it the respect that it deserves, that when we look at how we're thinking and feeling, we can shift those in ways that are really powerful. Number two is food. So an example of that is just what's on your plate? What is fueling you? You know, food is the building blocks of our cells of our bodies. And so if we put good quality food in, we're going to get better quality out. Number three is movement, moving these beautiful bodies of ours in any way that we can. Even with diagnoses that change the way or the ability of our bodies to move, finding ways to keep moving. Number four is rest and relaxation. That's where sleep comes in. Again, that's where finding things to refill our cup in a way that is not just a nice to have, but it needs to be a part of the plan. It needs to be included proactively, not just wait till a crash to rest. Number five is connection. So that's relationships, that's connection with others, connection with ourself, connection with a higher power. This is where I work on things related to my spiritual life as well. And the last one is good stresses. And I, if you could see me right now, I'm putting quotation marks around good. These are things that they're like challenges, you know, things that we put our brain and our body and our hearts through that feel a little bit stressful, but it's short term. And it's with the knowing that we're going to go through a little bit of discomfort to come out stronger on the other side. A lot of people understand that when you lift weights, your muscles will get sore because we've broken them down so they can build back stronger. And that same theory applies to how we're thinking and feeling and what our metabolisms are doing. There's different ways to take on challenges and come out stronger on the other side.
Acquiring any new habit takes time and effort. I was wondering how you support clients so they can do this effectively.
I love that you said time and effort, because you're right. If there's not really quick and easy fixes. I think a lot of things around habits, people will have tips and tricks and just more and more information, but recognizing that good things come with time, you know, not being in a rush, but instead seeing the big picture, learning the skill for how to do this in a way that feels good is so worth the time. It also takes a little bit of effort. That doesn't mean like, you know, it needs to be hard, but we do need to show up for ourselves. We do need to have some level of commitment that I'm going to learn this thing and I'm going to make some things different. I like to call, you know, the way we do this, I call it my secret sauce, right? So it's five different things that I'm always building into my work with people, whether it's, you know, you're learning from me, whether you're coaching with me, whether you're in my communities. These five things are what help us shift habits in this way. The first one, no surprise, is science. You know, a good backing behind what works is a great starting point. The second ingredient of the secret sauce is self. So all the science in the world cannot replace what you know and what you learn about yourself. Building that self-trust, having self-love on the way is a huge part of the process. The third ingredient is simplicity. If we try to overcomplicate things, our brains will not stick with anything. So simplicity will always win out. Number four is strategy. So sometimes it's good to have the real strategies to take what you're trying to do and actually make it real in your real life. I use something called the ABC Habit Playbook, and it is the 20 strategies that we know from the research, from all the habit greats, that I've packaged up in a way that makes sense for us living with autoimmune disease. But, you know, if something's feeling hard, we go to the playbook and we say, okay, what different strategy can I make for this? That's the real action. And the last S, the last ingredient of the secret sauce is support. So if anybody's out there and thinking, God, this sounds like a lot, it's because it can be without support. You know, we need each other for so many things in life, you know, whether that's for family, whether it's experts, you know, if we have someone cut our hair or do our taxes, that's support that we get because we recognize there's a skill that we don't have. I like to think of coaching as a support that allows you to build a skill that you don't currently have. And so when you find the right combination of those five S's of the secret sauce, then things really start to come together.
Thank you. Our topic refers to building better habits for autoimmune health without feeling deprived or overwhelmed. Now, I'm sure individuals living with an autoimmune diagnosis may slip into feelings of deprivation or overwhelm more often than not. What would your advice be?
For both of these, we're going to pull in a mindset tool for both of these. So let's start with deprived. If we're feeling deprived, so maybe we want to still keep eating something that maybe our body doesn't like us eating. Instead of thinking, I don't get to eat this thing, trying on a new thought that feels more loving and feels more open to have us feeling curious, empowered, excited about what could be different. You know, and that thought may be, oh, I get to show my body love in this way by not eating this third candy bar. You know, I'm trying to give an example that's really clear because everybody's food is going to be different. But if we are thinking about a habit in a way that has us feeling like we're missing something, finding a new version, a new way to look at it that again helps us feel curious about what could be if we carry through on this thing that we want to carry through on. With the overwhelm, again, overwhelmed comes from thinking I need to do it all, or I need to do it perfect, or there's so much out there, I'm never going to get it. Instead, really thinking, you know, who do I want to trust? Where can I go for support? What is the next thing that I want to try? Really bring your brain down to a thought that instead has you feeling, again, back to curious or confident. I love the idea that one thing we can't control is how much information is flooded at us. So on social media, in the news, whether it's podcasts, books, there's so much information. We can't control that. What we can control is what we let in. You know, we have a filter failure sometimes when we feel overwhelmed. So try choosing just one or two people that you trust. You know, try choosing a couple things to just narrow in so that we don't have that overwhelmed feeling, but instead can feel, you know, focused. You know, that's a great feeling to shift to instead of overwhelmed, is what is the thing I want to focus on right now?
That's excellent advice. Would you like to tell us about the services you offer?
I would love to. I coach in a group. It's called Club Habit Hub. Sometimes I call it the club for short, but it is, as the name implies, it really helps us live the Habit Hub for autoimmune health. It helps us live that in real life. So it's not pausing to go take this course, you know, spend a bunch of time in front of the computer learning more things. It is set up to help you incorporate these changes in our lifestyle in a way that keeps you feeling and functioning better or the best that you can. It's balanced. It is just such a beautiful way to work together. There's a habit researcher. He's an author. His name's James Clear. And most everybody has heard of Atomic Habits. I think it's been number one across the world. And he says, we don't rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. And so what Club Habit Hub is it's a system. It's a system to come in and get information in a way that helps you apply it, to get the support through coaching, to be in a community that is like-minded, going after similar things. And I've really built it, again, to live this in our real life so that we can find the habits that will help us and that we can follow through on. And that's the two parts that really matter, is what should I be doing and how do I actually follow through on it? And so that is the most beautiful way that I work with people. I love getting to know people and coach them personally and be a part of their journey to find what these habits are that really can change their health and change their life.
And where can listeners learn more about your work or follow you?
Well, I also have a podcast. There is a bank of 160 plus episodes to listen to. So it is called Autoimmune Health Secrets. And I love that name because it's autoimmune health, which we talked about. But sometimes we think that, you know, we're missing something. Habits, it's not a secret, can help anybody live a healthier life. But what the biggest secret is this approach that we've just spent, you know, the past 45 minutes talking about, an approach that makes habits actually work in your real life. And so, yes, I'd love to hang out with you on that podcast, Autoimmune Health Secrets. I'm sometimes on Instagram as well. If your listeners are, I'm not on there as much, just because I really like to be in the club coaching and I like to be sharing on the podcast where I can really spend more time and get into some more of the nuance. But Instagram, if you do love Instagram, is at Amy Beheimer Coaching. And of course, you know, the club is open, it's international. So we have quite a few members from England, one from Ireland, one from Israel. You know, we're all over and we accommodate different time zones. So yeah, those are the places that I hang out.
I'll attach the link to your website to this episode. And I must say that I've listened to several of your episodes, your podcast episodes, and you really keep it short and informative.
Yeah, I always try to say, if you're going to learn from me, you know, I promise I'm going to pair it with a invite to apply it. So, you know, I call it the do of the day. And each episode could be anywhere from 9 minutes to maybe 15. Sometimes I have a guest on who's an expert. Those may be a little bit longer as we chat, but I want you to come in. I want you to learn something and then put it to work in your life so that you can really start to feel and see the impact it has.
Now it's time for your tips to feel better about your health.
All right. So one, I would say, is to try something different. If you feel like whether your current health could be better, or you just maybe you're aging, or you do have a diagnosis and you want to make sure the future is as bright as it can be willing to try something different. You know, a lot of people think they need to be ready to make a change, but just ask yourself if you're willing, you know, because sometimes when we try something different, that's when we see different results. So be open to something different. You know, if someone's thinking, I don't really, you know, think about this mindset stuff, or maybe you do, but try a different approach to get something different. That would be my first tip, and something that definitely has changed my health and changed my life. The second tip I would say is to really start today. You know, the compound interest of better habits is something that we understand it potentially from like an investment standpoint with money, where the earlier you start, the better it is. And the same thing is true with habits. You know, the best time to start a healthier habit was 20 years ago, but the second best time is today. So, you know, really do something. I tell people to draw a line in the sand to make this the date that you shifted from looking at your health as preventing disease versus creating health. And that really gives you, this is part of the strategy, it gives you a point, like I said, a line in the sand where you have a before and an after. And that can be really empowering and can help you feel motivated to try some different things, back to the first thing. And the third tip that I want to share, actually, hopefully this will help, is to take my free quiz. So I created, similar to how you said of, you know, what are habits that people would want to try? I created a free quiz. It's 7 questions, should take less than 3 minutes. And it answers the question of, if I wanted to get started today, if I want to try something different, what is the first habit I should work on? It pulls out what you want. We talked about that desire, what you want. It helps you understand what the habit is, why it could work for you, and how to make it happen. It'll link to some podcast episodes that could help. So the results really are a tool to help you take the next step as well. And so that quiz, which you can find on my website, www.amybeheimercoaching.com/quiz, I think is a great place to start.
Thank you. May I now ask you a fun question?
I would love it.
We're going to the realm of the imagination and we're going to focus on food. Amy, if you were something edible and crunchy, what would you like to be?
Mariette, have you heard about my obsession with crunchy things?
I have read about that, yeah.
Okay. That is hilarious. I thought that's too much of a coincidence. My kryptonite is, I call them small crunchy things in bags. That's what I love. Okay, so if I was something crunchy, what would I be? I would say probably my two favorite things. There's cashew butter. I love cashew butter so much. which is, if anybody's not familiar, I don't know if it's a United States thing, but instead of peanut butter, they grind up cashews and smooth butter. I love it. And I love putting it on a rice cake. The rice cake is solely for the crunch. It's a vehicle to get the cashew butter into my body. And so it's my favorite snack. I've been eating it for years and years and years, and I will continue to eat it for years and years. So that's what I'd be. Is that fun enough?
It is. And I have a preference for something crunchy. I mean, I think you wrote that a meal isn't a meal without something crunchy. I wanted to applaud you when I read that.
It is funny. Sometimes I'll look, even my husband knows, we'll be cooking dinner and he'll say, well, I don't see anything crunchy. He's looking out for me because he knows I'll get done. I'll go, that wasn't satisfying. And I love it.
Thank you, Amy, for taking the time to speak to us about this. Yeah, I think to many people, it's a topic shrouded in mystery because, you know, if one doesn't have an autoimmune condition yourself or know someone very well who has one, I think it's difficult to imagine what it's like. So thank you, firstly, for sharing with us your insights and your lived experience and everything you're discovering. And then I'd especially like to thank you for showing us that it can be approached in a way that helps one live a full life. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me and for all you do. And yeah, if you feel overwhelmed or deprived by healthier habits, then maybe take that as a sign that, hey, maybe there's a different approach that doesn't have to be this way. And, you know, just that little bit of hope, I think can go a long way in finding that approach. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate you.
That was a great pleasure. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to this podcast series and rate it where you download your podcasts. And if you found this episode helpful, please share it with at least one person you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariet Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series Calm, Clear, and Helpful is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.